Let's stand together as we read God's Word here. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll look there at verses 16, 17, and 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. The Bible says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Understanding what the will of the Lord is. And I turn over a few pages to the book of Colossians, chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. And look there at verse number 9. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Let's pray together. Lord, we do need You this morning. We need Your Spirit to work in our lives, to work in our hearts. I pray You'd help those here this morning, those seeking to know Your will and understand Your will, that they would know again that Jesus is the key. Thank You for these messages we've been studying the last few weeks and talking about the key to life and the key to having peace and the key to change life and the key to revival. And Lord, again this morning, I ask You just to work in our hearts with just a very simple truth, simple thoughts. Strengthen and encourage some people here and direct some people in their life, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 made it clear that we can understand the will of the Lord. In Colossians, the apostle prayed that people would know, have a knowledge of God's will. We need to understand what the will of the Lord is. God wants us to know. It's His desire. It was Paul's desire for these Christians here at the Church of Colossae that they would know God's will in their life. Someone has said this: the greatest knowledge is to know God's will, but the greatest accomplishment is to do God's will. The greatest knowledge is to know God's will, but the greatest accomplishment is to do God's will. Turn with me, if you would, over to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2, and look there at verse 17. 1 John 2, verse 17, the Bible says, "And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. God has a will for every person's life. You know, it's God's will for the lost that they would be saved. If you're sitting here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says in the book of Peter that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe it's God's desire for you. God would like for you to be saved. It's God's will. God would want for you to be saved and to know Jesus Christ in your life. God never made hell for you. God didn't make hell for you. God made hell for the devil and his angels. You know what Jesus has done? He's gone to prepare a place in heaven, the Bible says. "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Listen, God doesn't want us to have to go to hell. God wants us to have a home in heaven. It's God's will for us that we would be saved. A person may choose to reject it and go their own way. A person may choose to refuse God's gift of salvation. A person may be offered a pardon and they may choose to say, no, thank you, I don't want that pardon. You may say no to Jesus, but can I tell you, God would like for you to be saved. And that is why God sent His perfect Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. God sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to pay the penalty, to pay for the sins of mankind so we could be saved from hell and spend eternity with God in heaven. But can I say this as well? God also has a perfect will for those who have been saved. God has a will for the rest of your life. And Jesus Christ is obviously the key. We've studied in these last few weeks, Jesus Christ is the key of life. He is the key to life. He is the key that will open up every door in our life. He's the key to joy. He's the key to having a life of fulfillment. He's the key to living a life of purpose and meaning. We ought to allow every action and every decision of our life to be directed by our Savior. Because listen, He does have a will for our lives. He does have a desire. He does have a plan for our lives. What can we learn from Jesus Christ when it comes to understanding and knowing the will of God for our life? What can we learn from the example of Jesus Christ when it comes to us personally, for you and me, as someone who's saved, we're born again, we're a child of God, and we want to know the will of God in our life? We have a great example to follow in Jesus Christ. What practical lessons can we learn from the life of Jesus that would help us to know and to do the will of God for our life? The first thing we can learn is submission. Submission. Remember how Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, not my will be done, but Thy will. Not my will, but Thy will. Not my will, but Thy will. You know, we learn from Jesus an example of submission. An example of submission. Secondly, Christ shows us obedience. Obedience. In the book of Hebrews, it says this, referring to Jesus, "Lo, I come..." Then later in the same verse it says, "To do Thy will, O God." You know what He wanted to do? The will of the Father. "Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God." He was obedient to the Father in all things. Of course, the Father and the Son and the Spirit of God are always in perfect agreement. There's never one that is kind of rebelling against the other. They are one God. But we see Christ was in obedience. The Bible says, I am come to do Thy will, O God. We see from Christ, we learn from Christ, we learn an example of submission. We learn from Christ, we learn obedience. Third, He shows us the price of doing the Father's will. He shows us the price of doing the Father's will. Christ suffered, didn't He? Christ suffered. Doing the will of God will not always be easy. Doing the will of the Heavenly Father will not always be easy. Some may think that being in the will of God will mean that, you know, everything in my life is going to be easy street. Everything in my life is going to be wonderful. If I do the will of God, I'll never have a storm. I'll never have a trial. I'll never have a difficulty. Everything's just going to be peachy keen and wonderful and woo, and just smooth sailing. But sometimes there even happens to be storms right in the center of God's will. Christ sometimes, He sent His disciples out on a boat knowing full well that there was going to be a storm out on that sea. Right smack dab in the center of God's will, there'd be a storm. Difficult night. There's sometimes a price, often a price, of doing the Father's will. Christ suffered. He suffered. Many of those who've been in the center of God's will have encountered suffering. We think of Job. The Apostle Paul encountered shipwreck. Joseph, Paul, and Silas, in the middle of God's will, what did they encounter? They encountered prison. How'd you like to have prison time? Just will of God for me to go to prison. That doesn't sound real good. Prison was in the midst of God's will. Shipwreck in the midst of God's will. Suffering in the midst of God's will. Betrayal and slander in the middle of God's will for Joseph. People rejecting the message that they preached. You can think about Noah. You can think about the Old Testament prophets. They were doing the will of God. They were doing what God told them to do. They were doing what God wanted. But could you imagine being like Noah, a preacher of righteousness, for all those years? All those years preaching and not one convert? I mean, not one person wanted to get on the boat with him? But he just did the will of God. Storms in the midst of God's will for the disciples. The fiery furnace in the midst of God's will for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A lion's den in the midst of God's will for Daniel. A cross in the midst of the Father's will for Jesus Christ. Listen, there will oftentimes be a cost. There will be suffering in doing the will of God. We could go on and on through the Bible and even think of those that are living today. But many times in doing the will of God, there's going to be a cost. There may be some suffering involved in doing His will. There's a price to be paid oftentimes for the power and blessing of God. If you want to be exalted, what needs to happen? You must first be brought low. The Apostle Paul wrote this in Philippians, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. You know what, many times in that following the will of God or doing the will of God may cost you something. There may be a price involved. There may be some suffering. You may have some suffering and trials, and it may not always be easy to do the will of God, but it will be worth it when you see Jesus face to face one day. It will be worth it when we face our Savior one day in heaven. The Bible says this in the book of Peter, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yea, don't you think godliness is obviously a part of God's will for us, right? Oh, obviously that would be on the pathway of God's will for my life, but godliness, sure. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's right in the path of God's will. There could be some persecution, there could be some trials, there could be some suffering. It may cost you suffering in the service of your Lord. When it comes to the matter of knowing the will of God, I want you to remember three words. When it comes to the matter of knowing the will of God for your life, I want you to remember three words. We saw from Christ three things. From Christ we can learn submission. From Christ we can learn obedience. From Christ we can learn that there's a price of doing the Father's will. But on top of that, I want you to remember three things personally about knowing the will of God for your own life. Remember these three thoughts. Number one, acceptance. Acceptance. Accept the truth that God has a will for every believer's life. Paul's desire and Paul's prayer for the Christians at the Church of Colossae was, I want you to have the knowledge of God's will. I want you to know God's will. Accept the truth that God has a will for every believer's life. If you're God's child, your Heavenly Father has a perfect will for your life. No, I have a will for my children. I have a desire that they would live in purity. I have a desire that they would love and fear God. I have a desire that they would seek to please God and that they'd not live selfishly and that they'd seek to serve God and serve others. But you know what? Whether they choose to accept my will or not is really up to them. But you know what? Far greater than I, the great God who made my children, the great God who loves my children, the great God who made you and loves you, the great God who sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross and pay the penalty for your sins. Listen, that great God, He's got a will for your life. He has a plan for your life. The great God, the great Creator, He loves my children. He loves you. And He has a will and He has a purpose and He has a plan for their life. The all-knowing God, the all-powerful God of the universe, He has a plan for your life. He has a specific will for your life. And what I want you to remember this morning is to accept it. Whatever that is, accept God's will. Accept the fact that God has a will and God has a plan for your life. And seek to know what it is. I would pray like Paul. I want you to have the knowledge of God's will. I want you to know exactly what God wants you to do in your life. And then I want you to do it. I want you to know His will. Seek to know God's will for your life. Accept that God has a will. First, God has a general will for every child of His. God has a general will for every child of His. It's God's will for your life to be holy and godly. That'd be God's will for every one of our lives. That's a general will for all believers. You're God's treasure, and God wants you to live your life to honor Him. He wants your life to be clean and pure. You know what? That's God's will for you, and that's God's will for me, and that's God's will for the person sitting next to you. That would be God's will for every one of us. That we live a life that's holy and pure and clean and set apart unto Him. Cursing and swearing has no part in the believer's life. Fornication and adultery has no part in the believer's life. Drunkenness has no part in a believer's life. You know, we can learn all these things and much more than that simply by going to the Bible and studying the truth and studying God's Word. We can learn many things that would just be God's general will for every believer. Many things that obviously, clearly would be God's will for every one of His children. For every Christian. we can learn in the Bible the principles that would teach us the general will of God for every child of God. But secondly, God has a specific will for each of His children. God has a specific will for each of His children. You know what God has given to each one of His children? One or more spiritual gifts. You know what? We're not all the same, are we? That's pretty obvious. I mean, obviously we look different, but also we have different personalities and different spiritual gifts. I think you have seven children? Seven or six children? I got seven children here. And you know what? They're all different, aren't they? All our children are different. They all have a different personality. They all have a very different... They're different in their spiritual gifts. And you know what? It's because God has shaped them to serve Him in a different way. God has shaped each one of them uniquely, where they may have a gift, or they may have some ability that others do not, or they may have a tendency towards something that God has gifted them to do, or God is enabling them to do, and with it, it brings its strengths and its weaknesses, but they all have spiritual gifts that God has given them. Why? Because God has some specific task He wants them to accomplish. He equips us for serving Him. He equips us for the task that He wants us to do. He equips us for His plan and His will for our life. God may give you a talent or an ability, and that is something that God wants to use to accomplish His specific will for your life. Obviously, there are some things that God wants every Christian to do, right? That'd be the general will of God, because this is what God would want for every believer. But yet, also, God has a specific will for every one of you as His children. The truth is, you can choose whether or not you want to accept God's will. You can choose whether or not you want to follow God's will. You can choose whether or not you want to do God's will. You can say, "No, God, I don't want to do that." But that'll be your downfall. You'll miss what God has for you. When we say, no, thank you, God. No, I'm sorry, I don't want to do that. This is what I want to do. We're going to miss something. We're going to miss something that God has for us. You'll miss opportunities. You'll miss joys. You'll miss blessings that would come with doing those things that God created you and those things that God made you to do. Listen, God has a specific will for each one of you. God made you the way He made you on purpose. Don't ever think, "Oh, God sure made a mistake when He made me. Look at me. Look at how I look. Look at me. I can't do what somebody else can do." God didn't make you to do what somebody else can do. God made you, specifically you, and has given you abilities and given you a spiritual gift. And you can uniquely serve Him. God has gifted you for a purpose. God has gifted you so that you do the will of God. The will of God. You need to just pray, "Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do?" And accept that God has a will for your life. "Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Lord, what do You want me to do? Lord, what have You made me to do?" And accept that God has a plan and God has a will for your life. Our life is not to be wasted in sin or laziness. Our life is not to be wasted in vain pursuits. Our life is to be invested wisely in doing the will of God. That is why it's my prayer for you, like it was the Apostle Paul's prayer for those Christians in Colossae, that you would have the knowledge of God's will, that you would know God's will for your life, and that you'd accept God's will for your life. Paul's prayer for them, that they would have the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wait patiently upon the Lord. He'll reveal His will for your life. Continue to take the next step. As He reveals one step, take that step, and wait on Him for the next step. As God continues to reveal what He wants for your life, take those next steps. Listen, God wants you to know His will. He's not going to try to hide it from you. He may not always just, you know, roll it out a big scroll or put it on the big screen and just show it to you all at once, because sometimes maybe it'd even scare us if we knew that this is God's will for the whole rest of my life. Oh, there's no way I can handle that. There's no way I could do that. But God may just show it to you a little bit at a time. And He may just want you to take the next step. And He'll reveal the next step, and the next step, and the next step, and you just take that. Wait prayerfully upon the Lord. Wait patiently upon the Lord. You may want to know God's will, and that's a good thing if you do, because you know what? God wants you to know His will also. Wait patiently upon the Lord. Wait prayerfully upon the Lord. Pray about things. Do you ever ask God to show you the next step? Do you ever ask God for wisdom? Do you ever ask God, God, please show me what I ought to do about this? God, show me what ought to be the next step in my life. God, show me. You know, I'm going to graduate soon from high school. God, show me what you want me to do with my life. Show me how you want me to serve you. What is your plan for my life? God, show me where you want me to be. Show me the things you want me to do. Wait prayerfully upon the Lord. Pray about things. Ask God for wisdom and understanding. Ask God to lead you and guide you. Wait prayerfully for Him to show you the next step. What else could you do? Study God's Word. You know, the Bible will always help us to understand and know the will of God. Because the truth is, He's already revealed so much of His will for us in the Bible. He's already revealed so much of His will for us in His Word. We can't help but get to know God and know God's plan and purpose for our lives when we read the Bible. When we read the Word of God, it'll show us how God's desire for our life and God's plan for our life and how God can bless our life. And we'll learn much of the will of God simply by studying the Word of God. The Word of God was inspired. And you know what? He can use it in your life to guide you when you need it. When you're at a place and you say, Lord, I don't know what the next step is to take. Okay, then wait patiently. Before taking that step, wait patiently. Wait prayerfully. Ask the Lord to show you the next step. Get in God's Word and study God's Word, because God who made you and God who inspired His Word, it may be that even shows you the next step through His Word. So study it. Study God's Word. Wait patiently on the Lord. Wait prayerfully upon the Lord. Study God's Word. The Bible says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want to know the next step? Well, what better to have than a book that, I mean, can glow, a book that can just light up and give you direction for your life and help you to know what the next step is to take. If you're a Christian that really wants to know God's will, study His Word and wait prayerfully upon the Lord and wait patiently upon the Lord. As you seek God's will, don't be sidetracked. Because you know what? God will. You wait on Him. Wait on Him. Wait for Him to show you His will. But don't be sidetracked, because the world will try to give you some other offers. The world will try to show you some other things. They'll try to pull you this way or pull you that way. Don't be sidetracked by the world's offers or allurements. You know, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Wait patiently for the Lord to direct your way. Wait prayerfully for the Lord to show you the way. Study God's Word and wait on Him. Don't just run off on your own track. Don't just run off on your own path because, oh, I'm sick of waiting. I'm sick of waiting. Sometimes young ladies, that happens too. I'm tired of waiting. I'm going to be old. I want to get married. And instead of waiting for God to send them that Christian young man, they go off and they, well, find some young man that'll show them a little love and attention, and they marry some unsaved man. And they thought it was so nice, and God thought it was going to be so good, and oh, he seems so nice, but... And once they've been married to that lost man for a while, boy, this was sure a mistake. Listen, you don't want to run off, take the wrong path, just because, oh, I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of waiting. Young people, in whatever it is in your life, wait patiently for the Lord and wait prayerfully for the Lord and study God's Word. And as you're seeking God's will, don't let yourself be sidetracked when other offers come and other opportunities come. Make sure you know that it is God's will in which you're walking. Don't veer off the path of God's will for your life. Beware of that. Be careful. Stay in God's Word. Listen to godly counsel. When it comes to knowing the will of God, the first word I want you to remember is acceptance. Acceptance. Accept the fact that God has a general will for every believer's life, but also accept that God has a very specific will and a desire for each one of our lives. And wait patiently for that. Wait prayerfully for that. Study God's Word. Don't allow yourself to be sidetracked. Second word I want you to remember this morning is submission. Submission. You must be submissive to the Lord and to His will, no matter what the cost. You must be submissive to the Lord and to His will, no matter what the cost. Others may recommend something different. But the best decision you'll ever make is to submit to the will of God for your life. The best thing you could ever do is God's will. The best thing you could ever do is to submit to God's plan for your life. Don't think, oh no, I don't like that. I want to do what I want to do. No, submit to God's will. God made you. God knows what can make you happy. He made you a specific way. And God's not going to lead you in a pathway of life that is going to make you miserable. He's the one that can bring you the greatest joy and the greatest fulfillment as you seek to follow Him and submit to Him. Do you know why submission to the Lord's will is often so difficult for us? It's because the world will oppress us and Satan will oppose us. Oftentimes, submission to the Lord's will just seems so difficult. But you know what? It's because the world oppresses us and Satan opposes us. Satan doesn't want us to do God's will. Satan doesn't want these young people to grow up and do what God wants for their life. Not at all. Satan doesn't want them to grow up and use their spiritual gift to serve the Lord and be a blessing to others and to make a difference for eternity. No, he wants them to live for self and do what they want and pursue something else that would keep them from serving or doing God's will for their life. That's always been his plan. He will oppose us doing God's will. Satan will fight against it. He will try to keep you from glorifying God in your life. It doesn't matter whether you're a young person here or an old person here. He doesn't want your life to glorify God. He doesn't want your life to please God. And he'll try to oppose us. But you be determined to submit to God's will and seek God's will for your life. Satan is a liar and a deceiver, and he wants to keep you from achieving your greatest success. He wants to keep you from achieving your greatest joy. Satan wants to keep you from doing the will of God. Notice some results of submission with me. First, submission brings an understanding to the Word of God. Submission brings an understanding to the Word of God. When you submit to the Holy Spirit's leadership in your life, the Word of God will become so much more alive to you. So much more alive and powerful in your life. God will speak to your heart in a so much more meaningful way because you're someone who has chosen to trust in and follow Him. When people are rebelling against God, they never seem to hear or understand when God is trying to speak to them. When people are rebelling against God, they never seem to hear or understand when God is trying to speak to them. You know what submission helps to do? It helps to give us a greater understanding of God's Word. You know what the people who don't want to submit to God? The people who don't want to obey God, they often lack understanding. Lack understanding. But to those that will do His will, Gospel of John talks about, they're the ones that really get to know Him. Those that will do God's will, they're the ones. Obedience always comes before understanding. And we need submission and obedience to the Lord in our life. Submission always brings a greater understanding of God's Word. D.L. Moody was a mighty preacher, a mighty man of God. He had very little education, though. His great understanding of the Word of God came from his submission to God. D.L. Moody was a man whose life was yielded and surrendered to God, and God spoke to him through His Word. God just simply spoke to him through His Word, and as he submitted to His Word, God helped him to understand Him better and know Him better and know His Word better. And as he kept submitting to God's Word and obeying God's Word, he kept getting to understand Him and know Him better. Submission will always help to bring a greater understanding of the Word of God in our life. Secondly, submission brings joy. Submission brings joy. Do you know surrendered Christians are joyful Christians? Surrendered Christians are joyful Christians. Obedient Christians are joyful Christians. Christians who are trusting God and yielded to God and submitted to God will be some of the most happiest people in the world. Why do some people seemingly not enjoy singing to the Lord? Maybe it's because they're not submitted to God. Why do some people not like going to church? Maybe it's because there's parts of their life not submitted to God. Why is it that some Christians don't enjoy offering their time to God? Maybe it's because they're not submitted to God. No, submission to God does bring great joy. It brings great joy. Submission brings peace of heart. Philippians says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind." Submission trusts God, even in things that we don't quite understand. The peace that passeth all understanding. How many times is there things in our lives that humanly we don't have understanding? Humanly, we just can't understand. It seems like maybe we're in a fog and we can't see clearly and we can't see the way out. But for that Christian, for that child of God who's willing to submit and trust God, God gives them the peace that surpasseth, a peace that passeth all human understanding. God does that for us. God's the one who then brings that peace into our life. Why? Because we simply, I don't understand everything, God, but God, I'm going to trust You. God, I'm going to submit to You. God, the way is hard sometimes, but God, I'm submitting to You. I'm trusting You. And God gives peace. Think about Paul and Silas. They had peace in their heart even when they sat in jail in the city of Philippi. Peace in their heart. Could you imagine being Paul and Silas? You're in prison. Prisons weren't nice back then. You know, prisons didn't have, you know, a satellite or cable television, or they didn't have Netflix and live streaming and internet, and they didn't have real nice meals, and they didn't have, you know, a chance to get out and do kind of exercise or play some sports. They didn't have all these things. They didn't have nice classes you could take and maybe get an education while you're in there. No, prison wasn't fun. And they're put in prison. And at midnight, you hear Paul and Silas. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. I don't know what they were singing. But at midnight, Paul and Silas are able to sing the praises of God. You know why? Because they were submitted to God's will. And God gave them great peace. What a great testimony that would have been to these Christians in the church at Philippi. When He can now write to them. They knew that it was real in Paul's life. Paul, who could be singing at midnight even in prison. Submission brings peace of heart. Submission impacts your testimony and influence for Christ. Submission impacts your testimony and influence for Christ. When the lost world sees a Christian who submits to God and trusts God and has joy and peace through the trials in their life, you know what it does? It strengthens your testimony as a Christian. When you as a Christian go through a trial and you go through a difficulty and you've got the peace of God in your life and you've got hope in your life and you've got a joy in your life that they maybe don't have, it's a wonderful testimony. It's a wonderful testimony that helps to point others to how good your God is and how gracious your God is and how your God is able to help you. Submission to God and trusting in God will ultimately bring about a wonderful testimony in your life. Allow you to have a greater influence for Christ in the lives of others. A fifth thought, submission will bring success in your service for Christ. Submission will bring success in your service for Christ. We cannot be successful and God cannot use us, obviously, if we're not submitted and surrendered to Him. We can't be successful and God cannot use us if we won't be submitted and surrendered to Him. If you are in God's will and doing God's will, do you know something? You're a great success in God's eyes. If you're in God's will and doing God's will, you are a great success. We must be submissive to God's will and we must trust Him to lead us and guide us. Believe and trust God that His will is best for your life. No matter what it may cost you, even if it means some suffering, be willing to say, okay, God, I'll submit to Your will. I'll trust Your will. I'll walk every step with You. I just want to simply do Your will, Lord. Submit to Him. Submit to Him, and it'll bring great success in your service for Christ. When it comes to knowing the will of God, the first word I want you to remember this morning is acceptance. Accept the fact that God has a general will for every believer's life, but accept as well that God has a very specific purpose for your life. There's things He made you to do. He has a very specific will and desire for each and every one of our lives. Second word I want you to remember this morning is submission. Submission, the best decision that you'll ever make is to submit to God's will for your life. The best thing you could ever make is to say, "Yes, Lord, I submit to You. I'll trust You." Third word I want you to remember is obedience. Obedience. You know what? Knowing God's will is not enough. We need to do it. We need to do God's will, don't we? You could know God's will, but if we won't submit to it and we won't do it and we won't obey it, what good is that? Paul said, "Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do?" When I was a young person, when I was a teenager, I believed very strongly that there was something that God wanted me to do. But I wasn't wanting to listen to God about that because I had my plans for my life. I had my dreams. I had the things that I wanted to do. And I'm not sure how it all would have been, but somehow I wanted to pursue those dreams. But when I was 16, I turned 16 in January. A few weeks after my 16th birthday, I was in school and we were having a school activity. We were tobogganing. High schoolers. And I'm just walking through a field, deep snow and so on, and all of a sudden I hear somebody calling my name, and I see Pastor Pennell, and with him was Pastor Bartz, and they were the pastor and principal of the Christian school that I went to, and said, "Brian, we need to talk to you." They came in the middle of this snowy field, the sun shining down, really bright day. They came over by me and they wrapped their arms around me, both of them, and said, "Brian, your brother was killed this morning in a car accident." We left that place, and I got in a car with Pastor Pennell, and we went to go and look for my mom. And my mom was doing some house cleaning jobs. My dad had passed away when I was a young boy, and my mom worked hard, a lot of different jobs, trying to take care of me. And we went to look for my mom, so Pastor could tell her what had happened. And I remember that ride we took, leaving Barry and heading up towards Aurelia. And I remember there the car ride, and I remember thinking, "God, why in the world? Why in the world did you take my brother? God, why didn't you just take me? Why can't you just kill me instead? God, why my brother? My brother just got married and my brother was serving You and my brother was talented and my brother was funny and my brother was seemingly serving God. And why in the world would You take my brother?" I really questioned God about it that day in that car ride. God started working in my heart and softening my heart. That was in February. Then in maybe late March, went to a youth conference. I was sitting right over here, Paul, where you're sitting. I was sitting in the very last chair against the wall. I have no idea what the preacher preached about. All I know is that God was working big time in my heart. I was a mess. I was torn up on the inside. I was crying like a baby. I mean, crying so bad, you know, snot all coming out my nose and you got nothing. You're wiping it on your pants and just crying. And God was working in my heart. And I left my seat there and I came up and I stood by a wall up here. I came forward and I submitted to obey God. I said, "Okay, God, I'll serve You. Hey, God, I'll do Your will. God, I'll do what You want me to do." You know what? The best thing you can ever do is to say yes to God. The best thing you can ever do is to say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. What do you want me to do, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do?" When Paul said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" The Lord gave him an answer, and the Lord directed him, and Paul obeyed. Paul followed him. Paul asked, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" And the Lord showed him what he wanted him to do. If Paul would have chosen to rebel against God's will, you know what? It would have wrecked the whole thing. Can you imagine how differently things would have turned out if Paul would have said, "No way"? What if on the road to Damascus, and what if he didn't say yes to God? And what if when he said, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" he didn't say yes to God? Where would we be today if Paul would have rejected or rebelled or ran from God and said, "No, I don't want to do your will, God. That's not for me"? Where would we be? What about our New Testament? What about the gospel being spread and the world being turned upside down? I mean, wow, what a difference it made because somebody said yes and obeyed the will of God. We must obey God's will step by step as He leads us. Do what God says today and He'll guide you tomorrow. You might say, I don't know the will of God and I don't want to know it. That'd be your own detriment. I hope you'll say, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what do you want for my life?" And learn to wait on the Lord. Wait patiently. Wait prayerfully. Ask God for wisdom. Study His Word. Ask Him to reveal His will to you. And when He shows you His will, submit to it. Surrender to it. And decide to obey Him. Just trust God to lead you and guide you one step at a time. Don't worry about things way down the road. Don't allow yourself to be sidetracked by other grand offers. Don't be swayed when others tell you that, "Oh, I think you could be so successful doing such and such. I think you'd be so good at doing such and such." It doesn't matter what they think. All that matters is, what does God think? What does God want? What is God's desire for your life? I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Doesn't matter what I want. I want you to know His will. I want you to do His will for your life. It's all that really matters. Obey the will of God. Submit to the will of God. Do it. When it comes to knowing the will of God, I want you to remember acceptance. Accept the fact that God has a will for your life. Secondly, remember the word submission. The best decision you'll ever make is to submit to the will of God for your life. Say, "Here am I, Lord. Use me." The third word to remember is obedience. Obedience, do what God wants. Just do what God wants. You will never find greater satisfaction. You will never find greater fulfillment, greater joy than in just obeying and doing the will of God for your life. Like Jesus did. Submit to and obey the will of the Heavenly Father. Submit to and obey the will of the Heavenly Father.